This is a podcast for Radio Sangam, the number one followed Asian community radio station in the UK.
Good morning, welcome to Radio Sangam 107.9 FM. You're listening to Janet on the community slot, and my guest is here with me. We have Mark from Bricks for Kids, who practices within the Kirklees area. So hello, Mark.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, and so how's your trip here today?
It was wonderful, thank you. Yeah? Very easy to find and lovely to be here.
All right, thank you for coming in. It's really nice to get local businesses within Kirklees, and especially with your company as well. So do you want to talk about Bricks for Kids and how you work?
Yeah, Sally, thank you. Well, it's a great opportunity. I think there's lots of small businesses out there that really do welcome the opportunity to showcase themselves. And Bricks for Kids started about 5 years ago, and we're based in Calderdale and Kirklees, and we deliver fun activities, or at least I hope they're fun, to young people age 5 and above using Lego bricks. And as most people have some Lego around the house, or have certainly had Lego around the house at some point, we all know how much fun that can be. Mm-hmm. So we try to do lots of educational activities, but you know what children are like. Sometimes they have enough of education in school, so the idea of sort of giving them the opportunity to have fun and learn at the same time is really what we do. So we do lots of things like after school clubs, where a school allows us to go in and we can give the children some extra activities to sort of enrich the school day. We do birthday parties, which are very popular, because mm-hmm. we all know how stressful it is to try and find some way of entertaining maybe 12 to 20 children. So we do birthday parties where we cover all the activities, and we also do activities during the school holidays. And one of the really exciting things that we've started doing in the last couple of years is a Lego show, because families enjoy Lego, and it's really keen that families, the parents, the grown-ups also share the experience with their children. So we're creating some Lego shows. There's one coming up at the end of September, and I'll tell you about that later. But we do Lego shows so the whole family can come along and share some quality time together, and that's sort of kind of activities that we like to do.
Cool. So many people associate Lego with just building a helicopter. So how do you think that affects children and affects their education?
I think it's really important nowadays that children do things that are physical, and I don't mean running around kicking a football around, even though that's obviously very important. But I think sometimes children are giving it a little bit too easy compared to how we were in previous generations. Using their imagination is hard, and a lot of the games that they play might keep their mind active, but they're not really making many decisions, because any of the online gaming and the games machines, they're all programmed, so they're all set in to do things in a certain way. Whereas with something like Lego, it allows their imagination to expand. So you mentioned about a helicopter, and sometimes we find children start building something, whether it's a helicopter or a unicorn or a castle, and then they'll come across a certain piece of Lego that actually sparks their imagination and their interest, and then the model takes a different direction. So they might find a piece of Lego with a smiley face on, for example, and suddenly they want to make this helicopter into a creature. And so I think Lego is really important, because it allows children to build without really any boundaries. And many parents and grown-ups that we come across say how much Lego they've got sort of scattered around, and that the children have it all over the bedroom floor. And it's really important that the children sort of really do explore that. Mm-hmm. And I think, as I say, children nowadays need that chance to sort of stimulate their imagination.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And so you mentioned the educational aspect of your Lego work. And what kind of systems are in place to still get the educational side?
So when we talk to schools, especially, some schools are just looking for an activity that will keep the children occupied at the end of the day. But one of the things that's really important with what we do is to encourage the understanding of the STEM principles, so that's science, technology, engineering and maths. Mm-hmm. Now, what we don't want it to be is a maths lesson. We're very aware that when we're working with children sort of 6, 7, 8, 9, that they're already doing lots of things in class. What we want is to sort of add to that. So we actually make good use of Technic Lego. So Technic Lego tends to be, it's the bricks with the holes in the side. That's the easy way to think about a lot of the Lego. And we also use things like axles and pins and gears. So children can follow our unique instructions using a special tech kit box that we have, and they build a model that ultimately connects to a battery and a motor, and they can switch it on, and it's a moving model at the end of it. But the models are simple enough that they can see how they work, so it's not all hidden behind screens and boxes and things like that. So they can actually see the gears moving. If it doesn't work, there's the opportunity to go back and to problem solve, which is obviously another skill. I mean, we're used to having our own way with things, and if something doesn't work, we get frustrated. And this is a great opportunity for children to obviously be able to go through the model, look at the plan. And normally we have them working in pairs. So by working in pairs, they get to share that experience. They also get to blame each other, but that's that's part of the course. But yeah, so the educational side, a lot of it is to do with the STEM principles. But the other kind of things that children are learning, whether it's through school or the other activities, is cooperation, it's communication, it's respecting each other, it's respecting the equipment, it's about building up their confidence. So a child who maybe doesn't feel they're good at building, this is a really good opportunity for them to create what they want to create. And there's no right or wrong. We're not telling a child that they've made a mistake and that it's wrong and it's a failure. Our role as Bricks for Kids is to actually encourage them to go where they want to go with their build. And it's very rewarding. I mean, our staff, we've got an excellent team of people from a wide background and family commitments and things like that. And so it's really good because we know our staff are wanting to help young people. And so it's very rewarding.
Cool, very nice. We have Saheem Ansari from India saying hello.
Oh, hello.
And he's enjoying the conversation. Thank you, Saheem. Okay, so we talk about how it sounds like you really inspire the children, you really encourage the children. So are there any kind of success stories you want to share with us?
I think one of the really important things that we've discovered over the 5 years is some of the children that came right from day one, we still see them, and obviously they're growing up. But we're having children who maybe came to us in the early days, maybe they, some children were diagnosed with autism, some children maybe they have some challenges but they're not on the spectrum or they've not been diagnosed on the spectrum, and we find them sort of coming out of the shell. So children that might have come in, certainly with the children with autism, we remember one boy who used to come in with ear defenders because of the noise, even though it wasn't that noisy, but for him it was distracting. And then what we found was a few weeks down the line, we noticed him taking the ear defenders off, and then now he doesn't come with ear defenders because you know he's got used to it. You know, some children they're very embarrassed about your building and showing you what they've built, but now we we find that they're really sort of coming forward now, and that self-confidence is there. And it's difficult to say about success stories because, you know, a child who builds something that then gets praise, you know, that is a success story. And I think that's not just with us with Bricks for Kids. I think it's crucial with grown-ups, with their children. We all lead busy lives now. The grown-ups, you know, finding time for children is is really difficult when we've got work commitments or other commitments. And I think it's really important that parents sort of do take that time, even if it's not a set time each week, but do take that time to work with young people and to praise them and to sit down and do some building with them. You know, even if you haven't got Lego building skills yourself, you can find them pieces, you know, you can make suggestions. And I do know that grown-ups out there, many of them are secret Lego lovers. So, you know, when it comes to buying Lego sets online or from the shops, you know, some parents are looking at, you know, how good it will be to build themselves. And that's one of the wonderful things about Debbie and myself running this business is we still get to buy Lego for ourselves as well.
Do you have like special collector's kits and stuff?
We have our Lego that nobody else touches. we have a top shelf in our office each with boxes that we've bought that haven't built yet. But it's great when we have an opportunity like the Lego show. Is an opportunity for us to display some of the Lego that we've got. And this weekend, actually, in Bradford, it is the Bradford Science Festival. And it's a space theme because, obviously, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And so Bricks for Kids are there in the Science Museum with a free workshop where we're doing Lego building. And it's given us a chance to bring out some of the models we've got, the space models, to put them on display alongside the models that the children are going to make when they come along. So, yeah. It's a chance. You've got to be a big kid in this industry, definitely.
Okay, so you mentioned briefly about how parents are lacking time these days, or it seems like they're not giving as much time to their kids. Is this a running... Is it getting worse and worse, where parents are just, like, totally dissociating from their children?
I think it's certainly more of a challenge, because with most children having TVs in the bedroom or gaming machines or things like that, I think one of the problems that we have is that it's easy for, if the children are not asking for things and pestering, then you assume that everything's okay. So I think parents probably have got it a little bit easier in that sense, because there's enough to occupy the children. But I do think it's about having some quality family time. Most family time is probably when they're in a car journey or on a bus journey together, and that tends to be a little bit more stressful. So I think, you know, once a meal's finished and everything's tidied away, there's a chance, if we're sitting at a table, to do something, whether it's Lego or a board game or just having conversations. But certainly with Lego, I mean, Lego is produced predominantly for children, but I think that having an adult there to find the pieces, to talk about what they're building, to encourage children, it's rewarding for both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly my son, who's now away at university, I mean, he enjoyed his Lego. We spent many quality hours building things up and building things for him. And certainly as he got more and more involved in Lego himself, it was more of me taking more of a backseat and just encouraging. Mm-hmm. So I do think that parents really need to try and find that time. And it is difficult. We all know it's difficult. But yeah, I think it is a challenge, but it's not a challenge that can't be solved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Lego's very, like, hands-on. It's very, like, you build stuff, you create stuff. Do you find that... because many kids these days, they have mobile phones, they have tablets, they're always on YouTube, they're always, like, downloading the next new app. Do you find that hinders their Lego-ness?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen children do stop motion animation, mm-hmm, with Lego. So mm-hmm, where they use simple stop motion animation software, and instead of using like modeling clay or things like that, they use Lego figures. Mm-hmm. So, and that's very time consuming, and it certainly takes dedication. We know of young people who will buy a new Lego set and they will record themselves opening the box and talking about the build and mm-hmm, things like that. There are games that Lego producers, new games sort of coming out quite recently, to try and encourage children. And they've also, Lego have, they've tried to go with the times and use a little bit more to do with robotics, mm-hmm, and coding, which is obviously a big part of schooling now. Mm-hmm. And so trying to encourage children to still use Lego but slightly differently. But we like to be very traditional. I'm a very old school when it comes to my Lego. I like to click the pieces together and look around the box. And I'd rather children use their imagination. If they want to build something and then play with it, that's absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I love the themes. So yeah, I'm a big Star Wars fan, so Star Wars Lego Space. Mm-hmm. Obviously Lego Marvels, because obviously the films have been so popular recently. And I think it gives children the chance to have an adventure. Mm-hmm. So certainly we mentioned about the moon landings, you know, to create things that are classed as space and to investigate new worlds through Lego without having to drop glitter on the floor or get glue everywhere. But the biggest difficulty I think parents tend to tell us about is how to look after the models afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because many models, whether they're complete or not, sit on a shelf or on the window bottom and start gathering that layer of dust. Mm-hmm. So we do encourage children to maybe build small so it can be stored easily. But parents do say, yeah, it tends to get dust if it's not played with often enough.
Because Bricks for Kids is, it for me, it's new to here. So have you had any challenges within the education sector, with even with the children or even growing the business when you are in your business?
I mean we started the business 5 years ago. It's a franchise. It's a very big franchise globally, certainly in the US, but in the UK there's just over a handful of actual Bricks for Kids locations. So when we started, a big problem was brand awareness. Mm-hmm. We wanted to obviously make sure people knew about us, so we had to sell ourselves to the schools to try and encourage them to see the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And the moment myself, Debbie and the team are delivering between 15 and 20 after school clubs a week across Kirklees and Calderdale, and running activities at weekends, the parties at the weekends and school holiday clubs. But it is about part of the challenge is recruiting new instructors. The difficulty there is that after school clubs are, as it says, after school. So if you are looking for part-time work, if people have families themselves, they're really looking for that during daytime. And out, we're looking for people who are available basically from 3 o'clock till 4:30, 5 o'clock, depending on the school finish time. And that does make it difficult because childcare comes into it. So we do try and look for people who either have childcare available or maybe are retirees, people who maybe work already in schools and just looking for an extra bit of part-time work. So finding the staff is important. And then the second thing is obviously being able to get schools to understand what we offer. And we do find that schools take us in for like in-school workshops. So we might work with a group of children who maybe their imagination's not the strong point and their writing skills need a bit of developing. So we can go in with a Technic model, they can build one of those, then they build something sort of out of their imagination to go with it, and then they could write a story based on those two models. So teachers use us for that. Or we've done some work on Egyptian history, and we built pyramids out of Lego, and we've done medieval, so we've done castles and trebuchets. So we've sort of put the fun into the lesson, so it helps to sort of support what teachers are doing. Mm-hmm. But finding out about us is very difficult because in this day and age, social media is the way to promote yourselves. The cost of using print advertising is very, very difficult. So the opportunity to showcase what we do at community events or word of mouth from parents and schools to other schools, that all helps. So it's a fighting battle all the time, but it's a challenge, but it's very rewarding because when you do have the opportunity to work in a new school, it's a chance to allow children who've maybe not come across you before or maybe don't know what to do with their Lego, it gives them a sort of a fresh buzz. And we do hear from children or from parents where their children have then gone away and they've spent absolutely ages because they've been inspired by the models that we've been building.
Wow, that's really cool. So you work a lot with kids, you work a lot with schools. Do you feel that it's improved yourself and your personal development in any way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've loved Lego for years, and I have a background. But my career wise, I was working in offices doing administration and sales and management. And whilst I enjoy doing administration, and I know for many people that would sound very, very strange, I like doing administration, but I'd also been a volunteer. I've been a scouting volunteer for over 30 years across West Yorkshire as a whole. And so working with children has been part of my weekly activities. Debbie, my wife, she's worked in a preschool for most, you know, she's worked with children for all her working life. So in ourselves, it's given us a real opportunity to put something back to young people. And, you know, if you start educating children with not just practical skills, but also social skills at an early stage, you know, you can't help but think it's going to improve society. And my work that I've done with scouting, I find it, I'm so proud that when I see on social media that they're, what their careers are now, or that they've got families, or some of them are actually in scouting themselves as leaders. So they're volunteering back in community. So yeah, personally, it's certainly given me a big buzz. And I reached a 5-decade birthday recently. and I still feel like I'm a big kid inside. So I might be creaking a little bit at the joints, but I do know that, you know, I'm inspired by the work that we do and seeing the children enjoying what we offer. And I think for many people, they do take stock of the career that they're doing, and sometimes people are stuck in a job that they don't really enjoy, and it is very difficult nowadays to find a career that really gives you everything that you're wanting. So yeah, I have to say that certainly being able to run this business has sort of inspired me to improve myself. So, and I also have to learn a lot more about tax now as well and things like that.
Fun times. Okay, so you have the Brick Show coming up.
Yes.
Do you want to talk more about the Brick Show?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's a little bit hidden from the general public is the fact that there are adult fans of Lego, we call them AFOLs, A-F-O-L, and adult fans of Lego are scattered around the world, and these people, they create what we call mocks, which is my own creation, but also they adapt models that you can buy in the shops. So if you're a Harry Potter fan, you'll see there's lots of Lego sets out there. Well, there are people out there who create models that are either inspired by those or from the films, and then they display them. And displaying quite public at public events is actually quite embarrassing and quite nerve-wracking, because it's okay when you have it in the confines of your own home and you're happy with it, but in a way you're putting it out there to be judged. And so there are lots of Lego events that happen all over the UK. There was one in May held at the university here in Huddersfield, which was extremely popular. And in the last couple of years, I decided that I wanted to be part of that team of people that go out there and put a show on for the community. So initially we started off at Myvrum Roy Community Centre, because that had been hit by the terrible floods in 2015. And we ran an event there to raise money for the community centre that one stage was under 9 foot of water. Mm-hmm. And we had just over 1,000 people attend the one-day event. So we then ran that again this year, this time with 1,200 people, very successful event. So we decided to try a different venue for a second show this year. So we're going to Halifax. We're at Ovenden, just at the far side of the town centre. And at Ovenden, we're going to have a whole sports hall filled with medals on display.
Very nice.
We have everything from Technic models from across the year. We'll have a Harry Potter-inspired sets. We should be having a Disney Main Street from Magic Kingdom. And some of these models will take up equivalent of maybe like 4 or 5 square metres of tables. These are massive models. These are volunteers who dedicate themselves to building. On top of that, we have some really hand-selected traders who sell everything from the individual little minifigures right through to a set that's maybe retired. You know, it's ideal for parents if children want to spend a little bit of pocket money and a couple of pound, right up to maybe a serious collector who finds a set for 100, 150 mm-hmm. pounds, and everything in between. And on top of that, we do have some hands-on building. So it's really good for a family to come out, spend a couple of hours. And what's nice about the event, certainly we are looking at, we pass back any of the surplus funds that are raised after putting on the event back to the venue. Okay. So we're at the Three-Way Centre on the 29th of September, mm-hmm. and money that raised will go back to the Three Ways for the work that the charity that organises it, mm-hmm. Runs at Three Ways Centre, is doing to develop that site for the community. Mm-hmm. So Lego shows are an opportunity to, as I say, spend some time together. And this is Halifax Way, so, you know, families want to tie it in with something else. There's obviously plenty of things, whether it be Peace Hall or Eureka, or even just spending some time in town centres, mm-hmm. whether it be Huddersfield, Halifax or Brighouse. It's a nice chance just to get out there as a family and do something.
And that's on the 29th of September?
That's on the 29th of September.
Right. Okay, cool. So if you want, and you'll be in Bradford this weekend?
Yeah, we're at the Science Museum for their Science Festival the whole weekend. So activities happening in the Centenary Square as well as the museum and the shopping centre.
So there's two opportunities during the holidays then.
Definitely. If anybody wants to find out a bit more about from a ticket point of view for the Brick Show, then if you literally go to brickshow.co.uk, you'll find out about that. And I just mentioned about the parties, because we do get lots of inquiries about birthday parties. So it's really easy if you just go to brickparties.co.uk. There's a lot of information there for you.
Cool. Is there any kind of social media links or website links you want to give out now?
Yeah, I mean, if you search for Bricks for Kids Calderdale or Bricks for Kids Kirklees, mm-hmm. You'll find us. We're certainly there on Facebook, sharing not just information about what we do, but also if we hear about new sets or new opportunities, there's plenty to do on there. And we also love it if your children out there build Lego themselves and maybe they've got something they're proud of, then please feel free to take a picture and send it to us, mm-hmm. and we'll showcase it. Just like the radio station here, we have people keeping an eye on us from across the whole world, yeah. And it's really nice that we sometimes see people sort of sharing or clicking like against a model from somewhere different, and it's just nice to know that, you know, something like Lego is a global thing, and I'm sure people love it across the whole world.
Definitely. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, that's fine. I mean, thank you very much indeed for giving us a chance to come in.
Thank you for coming.
And I would say that if you're in a household that's really doesn't use Lego, hasn't used Lego before, it is something worth looking at. Mm-hmm. You know, you can buy it very cheap online, or start off with some small sets and encourage children to use their imagination, but don't sit them down and walk away. You know, spend that time sitting down with them, talk to them, you know, and just like any other thing that they would do when they're playing, is be part of their life when they're having fun. Mm-hmm. And 'cause they grow up too quick.
True, very true. Going back to it. As a parent, if you've never used Lego before, how do you approach it? Because it does seem overwhelming because it's like a million pieces.
Yeah. I mean, we do find terminology-wise, if you looked at the names of every single pieces, I'm glad you haven't tested me here with an assortment of bricks. But I mean, basically, the children count the studs on the tops of bricks to find a brick. So if something was called like a brick 2x4, it would be two studs, which is the lumpy bit on the top of a brick. Mm-hmm. So like 2x4 studs. So in a way, that's where it helps with their maths. Mm-hmm. So I would say as an adult, the instructions tend to be pictures. Mm-hmm. So it is really just about, you know, matching up the picture to the piece and then looking at how it is in relation to other pieces. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be quite challenging, some of the difficult sets. I would say some parents tell us that their children are sort of master builders.
Yeah.
And when you actually sit down with them, maybe the harder models are a little bit too hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's best to start with the simpler models and then just sort of slowly build up. And as a parent, and it's like everything else, if you want to engage with your child, you have to have an understanding as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if a child wants to ride a bike, that's fine, but maybe if you know how to ride a bike as well, that will help.
Yeah,
so
true.
But Lego is certainly especially with our good old British weather, Lego is a good opportunity on a wet summer's afternoon during the school holidays to have some time there building.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Mark, for coming in.
You're welcome.
Hopefully we'll be seeing you around on the Bradford Festival, Science Festival, and in the Brick Show in September.
If anybody comes along who's listening, if you come along to the Science Show or the Brick Show, do come up and say hi and say that you heard us on the radio.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you very much,
Thank
Mark.
You.